Hey, everybody, welcome to Mat Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the innovator of nonviolence, Rich Stambolian.
Namaste.
Namaste to you, too.
Namaste.
Another quarantined edition of Mat Men here. You're in your house in Queens. I'm in my house in Queens. You know, I think it was good that we waited to do the show today because a lot of breaking news has come out.
Yeah.
Out of the WrestleMania story. So for people who don't know, and I think a lot of people are very disconnected from all this. WrestleMania was recorded. It's done. They finished filming yesterday sometime. And news broke late last night, so late Thursday night, that Roman Reigns did not participate in WrestleMania and went home. It was his call to do so. It wasn't WWE's call. And it had to do with the fact that, you know, he has a compromised immune system. This guy had a form of leukemia that he recovered from. Yeah. He returned back. And a lot of people are sick at that WWE show. Now, not necessarily they have the coronavirus or whatever, but he felt that he's putting his health at risk and said, you know what? I'm leaving. And he left. He went home. So this story broke yesterday. Now, there's a number of other people that are off the WrestleMania card for a very similar situation. A lot of speculation on who those people are, but you know, I don't want to speculate on that. I don't want to ruin WrestleMania for people. I guess we'll talk about who the opponent for Roman for Bill Goldberg is, and the reports are that. And I'll, if you want to skip this, guys, mute me for the next, I don't know,
spoiler
minute.
Alert.
Minute, okay?
Boner alert.
It's his opponent is Braun Strowman.
Ugh.
Now, I don't know. Do you think that's going to be the match? Or, because I was told that they're going to film multiple endings and they're going to film different match ideas. So to kind of confuse people into not knowing.
I mean, it would be cool if they filmed, like, let's say they filmed a Goldberg and Braun Strowman, but also they filmed like a Goldberg and Ricochet or Goldberg and Kevin Owens or something like that, right? Goldberg and Braun Strowman is just, I feel like it's just adding to the abysmalness of this situation, especially with WWE. And it makes me wonder, like, they really need to take a page out of that AEW playbook at this point, you know? Because, they've been doing such great television with no audience. And what's WWE doing? They're giving you a match, and they're giving you a replay, right?
They're giving you, what, WWE? Yeah. That's pretty much it. One match and a replay of stuff from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they did pivot a little bit. If you watch Raw this week, the shot was different. They were doing a similar thing how AEW's been doing by shooting the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was a major help for the visuals, and they were running a tighter angle shot from the left side shooting in. You know, that, but again, these are all band-aids on a global catastrophe.
Right, right, right.
AEW just has a very different feel. So when you don't have, I honestly think it comes down to not having a permanent structure in place, right? We were talking about this. When you have, if you're WWE and you have 30 years of doing things the way you do it, and now all of a sudden you can't produce content in that manner, it's a problem for you. That's a big problem.
I think so. Like, we talked about this last time where it's very much like, let's stick to the blueprint, let's stick to the blueprint, the blueprint, the blueprint, the blueprint, the blueprint for 30 years has been exactly the same. And this whole situation is definitely like a monkey wrench in their business, right? Like, not only for live shows, but for just the way they do stuff. And if you notice this week, they also changed the camera angle, pretty much using the AEW camera. Very strange stuff going on with WWE. Do you think they're in panic mode?
I think with this situation, so I was told that they filmed, so tonight's SmackDown was filmed early in the week, okay? Mm-hmm. So, with the intention of Roman Reigns being the opponent for Bill Goldberg, now that's changed. So, they actually went back and filmed a segment for SmackDown during the WrestleMania tapings for tonight.
Oh, boy.
So, imagine how convoluted everything has gotten for them. You know, if you think about it, they're potentially the biggest show that this company will put on this year is the Saudi show.
Oof, yeah.
I mean, if you really want to think about that, it's crazy to think that that was their WrestleMania so far.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's wild. A little crazy with WWE right now, right? Isn't it nuts? Like, I mean, I think this is interesting for wrestling as a whole, especially the stuff we see on TV, you know. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like WWE, just as a fan, from a fan's perspective, it just seems like they don't know what to do right now, right?
How do you make it interesting for everybody? You know what I mean? I think the for AEW, they benefited from being new and people wanting to see what they do different from WWE. And that's been a benefit for them. Last week, the ratings were very high. It was 936,000 people. This obviously was down this week, but they have kind of shown that, you know, the fans' intrigue in a new product exists and it benefits them. By the way, NXT did terrible, but there's no, they're not doing anything for NXT.
Yeah. It's like the talk about, like, if they don't know what to do for WrestleMania, NXT, I feel like, is not even remotely on the radar in a certain respect. Right. Like, they're just like, just do the best you can. You know, I do like the inclusion of Triple H. Like, he's kind of, it's interesting how, like, WWE needs Triple H to be that specific on-air personality to kind of get people to watch, right? I mean, like, the dude is very entertaining. He's very, like, he has his own style. And I think he's a funny dude. When we put him on TV, he's great, right? But that's what they're relying on right now. And that's kind of fascinating. As opposed to, like, did you watch AEW last night?
I did, yeah.
Three things.
No, Wednesday night, two nights ago.
I'm sorry, yeah, three things. Yeah. One, Cody on commentary. Amazing.
I'm going to tell you, I was not... Okay, I'll differ with you on that. I don't think it was great. I like Hunter on commentary way more than I like Cody on commentary.
I love Cody on commentary. Number two, great moment. For me, great moment. Number two, Jericho cutting a promo on the drone. Amazing, right?
Funny. Yeah,
very
funny.
Very out of the box. Matt Hardy teleporting through the arena. Amazing. That's what I want. They're doing the best they can with what they have, right?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm curious if they would have done that teleporting thing if there was an audience somehow.
It probably would have been a lot tougher, because if you noticed, it looked like they just filmed the same shot, but with Hardy moving through the thing. On a couple of the shots, Jericho's in, like, a slightly different place. But I'm only saying that just because of, like, a video production.
Yeah,
production standpoint, you know? But I don't think they'd be able to pull that off with a crowd, unless it was at the top of the arena.
Yeah. Oh, you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you glitched out on me for a second. This is the beauty
of
doing
teleporting.
Things. That's you teleporting right now. So, you know what it is? I don't have a monitor of what the live feed is, so I'm seeing a delayed feed on my screen.
Really?
I didn't set it up, so I don't get to see you. I'm only seeing a delayed feed right now. No, listen, AEW was good. I thought the match with Omega and Sammy Guevara was great.
They did
a great job. You know, they're doing different things, and I feel that it's working for them. WWE, on the other hand, you know, but also you got to also remember, WWE's in a really bad position because this is WrestleMania season. So they have had everything planned for this moment for, you know, 6 months, 8 months, whatever it is, you know, roughly, not set in stone. This is a big pivot for them because they can't just scrap their idea, because the next entire year is based on what happens at WrestleMania.
Right. And again, that's the blueprint, right?
That's the blueprint. Yes.
That's the blueprint.
AEW has the flexibility to kind of say, like, you know what? This is not going to work today. Like, I give it a great example. They killed that the blood and guts match.
But yeah, that makes sense that they had to, right?
That makes a ton of sense, because it there's no point in doing it now when the whole point is to get, it's the pop and it's the reaction and that's what you need. WWE cannot really do that with WrestleMania right now.
Oh man, are they refunding tickets?
Well, yeah, I believe they refunded all the tickets. But now think about all those people that had booked travel.
Well, hopefully they have travel's insurance and they can get their money back with this
stuff. I'll
give, you know?
I'm going to give people a little tip. If you have an American Express card or a you know, like, let's say any good credit card. I'm not going with like a credit one lower end card. I'm saying like if you have any decent credit card, like even like a Chase Sapphire card or a Citibank Platinum card, most of these credit cards have insurance built into them.
Yes.
They like my all my credit card, my Amex has traveler's insurance. My Chase Sapphire card has traveler's insurance. So whenever it got like I was supposed to go to Mexico about 2 years ago. There was a big storm. The hotel refused to give me a refund. All I wanted them to do was move my trip up a week. And they're like, no, sorry, no can do. We're going to lose money on it. Like, they were dicks. And I just called the credit card company, and they said, yeah, absolutely, you can't travel. So
that's crazy.
So people are going to get their money back with this case. But, you know, it kind of sucks because you kind of built your whole year around this for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, like, I have buddies that, like, try to do WrestleMania, like, every year. And, you know, with the travel and the hotel and, like, this, like, they always try to take, like a poll of who wants to go, right? And I think this year they didn't pull the trigger, and I'm happy that they didn't because they would have been screwed, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody would have been, like, screwed. And I feel like I do think that whatever they had planned for Florida would have been pretty awesome. You know, if you look at like the stage setups from the last couple of years and just like the bombacity of what they're doing, we're missing out on that. But again, like, it's a good thing that they're protecting people. People are staying home. That's wonderful. And that's awesome. From a purely entertaining standpoint, it's almost like it seems like they're grasping at straws, right?
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate for such a big company. And I think that's what happens when, you know, like the fact is, it's not Vince and Pat Patterson, right? Like, anymore, like, overseeing everything, right? It's a million people doing a million jobs. And it's the WWE at this point is like an insane corporate entity. You know, they're basically like Amazon or like Macy's or something like that, you know, which are companies that are based on a blueprint. And again, we keep going back to it. Like, when there's a crack in the system, this is when you see the cracks in their own system and their ability to handle situations like this, you know?
Absolutely. This is straight from the Wrestling Observer newsletter that came out yesterday. This is from Dave. The WrestleMania card has also changed. Names are being kept confidential because so few know what's going on, but it's been confirmed that multiple people on the card either said they were sick, which meant that they were instantly pulled from the show, or they were saying that they weren't feeling well and they just didn't want to put themselves up to risk. Apparently, for the WWE, the cutoff point for temperature is 100.4. That's what? WWE's cutoff point for not allowing people to work. And others who, on their own, said that they weren't feeling comfortable flying in. Both AEW and WWE have told people that if they don't feel like coming in, they don't have to. They don't want to put anybody's at risk, and it won't be held against them for future bookings. So this is bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very slow at reacting to this.
Yeah.
Also, being reported is that Roman Reigns being pulled from WrestleMania had to do with The Miz being sick and the Usos being upset about it.
That makes sense. Walk me through that one.
Yeah, so what happened was, The Miz was very sick, apparently, in the back, and he was cleared to work. The Usos got wind of this and made a big fuss. They got pretty annoyed at that because of Roman, for example. You know, he has a compromised immune system. So here's what it's saying. Roman made the call himself. It's interesting because he was there and made the call. It had to do something with some form of Miz being sick and Usos not being very happy about that. I don't really know much beyond that. It's a really weird story if you're following it based on logic. All signs pointed that he should have stayed home to begin with.
Oh, my God. But it's the road show, right? Like, you work when you're sick.
You work when you're sick.
I think it's crazy
that 104 fever is the cutoff. You know what I mean? That's more than... I mean, listen, 104... I asked somebody this morning, a friend of mine that's a doctor, and I said, why 104? He said, the cutoff, like, anything over 98.6 degrees could be considered a fever, right? Because that's your body temperature. Right. But a lot of people run hot. Like, I run hot naturally. I run really hot, baby.
So my
wife runs colder. Her body temperature is a little lower than normal. Mine is a little higher. Like, if I have a 99.2 fever, 0.4 fever, that's nothing for me. That's fine. But a 100.3 is generally the moment that a doctor will say, okay, you have a fever. So that's right. Why WWE is saying 100.4. Dude, I had 104 fever 2 weeks ago.
That's crazy.
I mean, I was in terrible shape. I didn't have Corona. Unfortunately, I didn't have Corona. I kind of wish that I did so I could get past all of this.
Oh my God. don't wish that on yourself.
No. I really do, because I'm going to tell you something. My symptoms are probably more severe than if I had gotten the coronavirus. I kind of wish that I had it. I would have been cleared. I would have been done. I could have gone to work. I could have functioned, because I wouldn't get it.
Somebody's going to come over right now and cough on your dick.
Dude.
That's how you get it. That's how you're going to get it.
It's a homeless guy, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff. So the shows are recorded. They're done till, I think, after WrestleMania.
So they're good until, like, April, whatever.
So WrestleMania would have been this Sunday coming up. Next Sunday. My apologies. Oh, yeah. So wait a minute. It was going to be on Palm Sunday?
What, WrestleMania?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see.
The 4th and the 5th. Yeah, that's WrestleMania. It's next week. We're the 27th right now. So wow. They're done till, I believe they recorded the Raw and SmackDown also. So the 6th, or maybe not. Maybe they haven't recorded Raw and SmackDown. So what the hell are they going to do now if they recorded Raw and SmackDown is, let's say, for example, Roman being the champion.
Oh my God, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Well, the one thing that I heard was that a lot of this stuff was taped out of order.
Right? Everything was taped out of order. Yeah, everything was taped out of order.
Kind of place everything and, you know. I think that's interesting. I mean, what is the... Did they release the full card?
No, everything is different.
Like, right, they're like scrapping a bunch of stuff, right?
The fact that they're having a graveyard match, AJ Styles, his comments were hysterical. He's like, what the F is a boneyard match? I understand that's why right. They're not calling. He's like, what? Why? He doesn't get it.
Right. I think that's funny. But like, yeah, that's so weird. Like calling like that corporate speak. Yeah, it's a graveyard. Call it a boneyard.
No,
match.
You can. You don't want to say a graveyard because of all the people dying. So it's bones. Boneyard.
So are we still getting Rhea Ripley and Charlotte?
I believe so.
Okay. Are we still getting Brock and Drew?
Yes. I'm 100% we're still getting that match unless something changed at the last minute. I've heard that match is happening. Charlotte and the other one is happening.
Becky. Other one. So dismissive.
I'm over all of this.
Brother, I was sitting in the back and then, listening to what you were saying.
But here's what I was told or was reported also, that the first night's main event, or the second night, I don't know which night, one of the night's main event is going to be Becky and Shayna. That's going to be one main event. The other one is going to be Brock and Drew. Now, I got to tell you, if you're looking at this card, and you tell me if you feel the same way. Guys, by the way, I want to make this very, I know that there's a bunch of people in the chat. I know it's early on a Friday. Everybody's at home. Let's make this interactive. Submit your questions in the chat room. At the end of the show, we're going to be taking your questions. Also, give us your opinion, because we're going to be throwing to you a lot of the time with this chat. When you look at who suffered the most from all this, it's Shayna and Becky.
I'm going to throw Drew in there too, man, because like, if he gets the title, where's that WrestleMania moment?
Where's that WrestleMania moment? Yeah.
I don't think he's dropping. I don't think Brock is dropping the belt because of this, by the way. I think Drew's going to, it's going to end up being at like SummerSlam or something.
Interesting. So you think Brock's going to hold on? Do you think Goldberg's holding on?
Yeah, I think Goldberg's holding on. I think they're all holding on to a later date. You know, it's going to be either like SummerSlam, Survivor Series. SummerSlam, if everything is good by then, I feel like SummerSlam is going to be the real WrestleMania. And that shit is going to be effing bonkers.
Well, they're scheduled to be in the Boston Garden, right?
Okay.
TD Garden now? Not Boston Garden, they're called the TD Garden. So I believe that's where it's going to be. Why not move it somewhere else? Oh, the Garden, by the way. Here's another tidbit. The Madison Square Garden has moved the show that was supposed to happen last Sunday. It's now moved to June 27th, I believe. Or June, whatever that last Sunday is in June. Let's see. June 28th, it's moved to. So that they may turn that if this, which I anticipate by June, this is done. Okay. You want my, I had a conversation with someone that's a little bit in the know of things.
Uh-huh.
He's been meeting at City Hall, and he's very hands on with this. He gave me a date of May 6th for restaurants to be opened in New York, the latest.
Really?
Now, obviously, things can change, but that was a discussion as of last week. So we're going to go 1 month.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I don't know, man. Like, this stuff, like, us being here, I feel like, at this point, we're, like, almost at the epicenter of all this weird stuff. There's very much, like, a who knows vibe. And also, people need entertainment, you know? So,
yeah.
Part of me also thinks that, like, this is why WWE is going to hold off on, like, some of the big stuff. You know, they're going to do, like, one or two really cool things with these pre-taped shows, and then they're going to hold off until people could be in those arenas, you know, because once people get in those arenas, it's going to be completely raucous, right?
Yeah. No, I think WWE's mentality is, listen, let's hold steady, like you said. I 100% agree with that. They're going to hold steady until they decide that they're gonna go full steam with this and be one of the first things that open. That's Vince's mentality. At first, he wanted to be the only thing open. Now he wants to be the first thing open.
Right, right.
You know, the first major event, Vince wants to be that. He was that after 9/11. You know, it was him and baseball came back.
Yeah, he is baseball.
He is baseball.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing too. Like no baseball, you know, like I feel like people are gonna, once stuff gets back to normal, people are gonna go friggin' nuts to get out of the house, to interact, to spend money. You know, like, I got a buddy who's supposed to open up a bar this week Ridgewood. And he's been doing like brand new, like gutted a building, construction. He was set to open this week, and he we were talking the other day, and he was like, dude, like, I am so stressed out right now. Like,
yeah, because how he has no income coming in. Yeah,
but let's say a month from now, when that place opens, it's gonna be banging for like months on end, you know. And I think that's gonna be like a bit of relief for a lot of people, especially people who want to be entertained, you know. Like, and I think wrestling fans are a very interesting group of people, because how many guys do you know that we kind of know mutually that just go to every single live wrestling thing?
Oh yeah, a bunch of people.
Yeah, and this is gonna be big for those people, you know. Like, I always forget that guy's name. I always see him on the train. Like, every wrestling show that we've gone to, like, this guy's been to, and I've seen him on the street, and he'll be like, oh, are you going to this live show? Are you going to this? There's a house show over here. Are you going to that? I'm like, no, man. Like, I no. Like, you do your thing, you know. He's like, all I do is spend money on wrestling. And I'm like, all right, cool. So those people are gonna have something to look forward to, you know.
So, some more news here.
Okay.
Coming out of here. It looks like when Roman refused and decided that, listen, this isn't the best for him, so did Goldberg. And Goldberg had to be convinced to work the show, which I understand. Listen, Bill Goldberg's like, I'm not going to do a nonsense match. Like, he's smart. He knows that every match he takes, it may be the last one. He doesn't want another bad Undertaker match. So... So they shot an angle with Braun that we're going to see tonight, and apparently it's a very explosive angle. Some of the other guys who won't perform on the show are Kevin Owens, Miz, Morrison, Usos, and Edge.
Okay.
So now it's being said that Edge may be out of this.
That's okay. I mean, that sucks. Because, like, honestly, that was the one match I was really looking
for. Again, I don't have confirmation on this. The Miz was one that I heard. Usos was one that I heard. Kevin Owens was one I heard. The Edge thing is all brand new to me. That's a totally brand new... that's a totally brand new thing, which they're going to run an angle, apparently, for this.
All right. That's fine.
Tonight. This is very interesting. The Edge thing is actually, I'm trying to confirm that as we speak, because I just had that come to me. Yeah.
What about John Cena versus The Fiend?
That match is going to go on. They're both not human. They can't get the virus.
They John Cena can never get sick, right?
No. He hasn't been sick since the bicentennial, and he wasn't even born then.
Do you think Vince loves John Cena like just that much because like he never gets sick?
Yeah, can you imagine what Vince is doing considering he hates sick people?
Hazmat suit.
You think so? Ah,
24/7
God damn
hazmat.
it.
What is this? It's fake. It's fake news. Ha
Well, the
ha
other thing
ha
is they
ha.
can't, that's it. They can't shoot anything anymore. That they
Right.
filmed everything. They cannot film anything anymore. The performance center shut. They shut down Orlando.
Again, AEW has the advantage. They have a effing private arena to film
Yeah, but
everything
you know,
in.
but the problem is
Yeah.
WWE also has that. The problem is that the city of Jacksonville hasn't shut down in that capacity. Orlando has because it's a tourist destination.
Yeah.
This is insanity.
Can we talk about how Brody Lee is now Vince McMahon?
Oh yeah, what happened there? What was that segment?
I honestly think that was a board meeting that he was a part of at some point, right? And just like reiterated it alive. And I also have like an interesting theory about this. Maybe the entire time the Dark Order is supposed to be a representation of WWE.
That's very interesting. Well,
Right? If you think
this
about
is multiple references at this point, right? For Vince, it wasn't just like a one-off thing.
multiple references, and also like when they showed like the recruiting vignette, I think, and like the stuff with Christopher Daniels, I feel like definitely the Dark Order is supposed to be an allegory for WWE, you
Yeah.
know? And just like the stuff that Evil Uno is saying, the stuff that Brody Lee is saying, I think it's great. He looked awesome yesterday. I'm glad he changed his gear.
Yeah, that gear was
And
weird.
you know, QT Marshall, man, that guy's great.
He's one of these guys that would never get any kind of exposure anywhere other than where he is.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, and I gotta say, like, you know who adapted the most to be on TV every week? Sammy Guevara.
Sammy's. You know what's interesting? The first time I saw him, I think he was AAA Cruiserweight Champion then. And I didn't really know much about him. I just knew the name. I hadn't really seen a lot of his work. I was like, this guy's a star. He cut a promo and he was such like a dick heel. And I'm like, my God, this guy's gonna be great. And every week he improves. Every week.
Absolutely. And he's getting bigger too. Like they're
Yeah.
putting him on like the big boy diet.
Yeah, he's putting on some weight, he's putting on some muscle. That's what you need, dude. This guy's a star. There's so many of these guys, and you gotta think about, you know. Whenever I see a guy that's so strong as far as a character or personality, I always think of The Rock. That's
Yeah.
my automatic default, right? Like, you got to look at The Rock
It's
and you
hard
got to
not
say, how do you. Yeah, it's very hard not to look at him.
to.
What would have happened if he didn't have, like, those small moments that may have been pivotal moments? Chris P, $20. Got to look out for each other. Love you, boys. Love you, Chris.
Thanks, bud.
I have no more nude photos for you, though. Maybe I have another Enchante photo I could send you. How about that?
Oh, the 8x10s. Did you start working on the
I got to
8x10s?
work on the 8x10s and start sending them out.
With the kisses?
With the kisses, yeah. With my lipstick on them.
So good.
$20. Guys, if you want to fund us here, you can by hitting the super chat button on the bottom. It's that dollar sign on the bottom. You can fund us as whatever you want to fund us. Chris P, thank you very much. And we have
Thanks,
another
man. We have
$4 we got.
another
Bachelor
donation ahead of
3000.
time.
Yeah, Bachelor 3000, $4.99 from him. Love these guys.
Thanks, guys.
I think this is a very unique moment, and we're gonna see who's gonna shine. I'm very curious what WWE does when we're out of this. You know, what's their recovery plan? Not talking financially, but I'm talking about, you know, it's a go home show for WrestleMania virtually. The
Can
one before the go home show. And it got only 2 million viewers for Raw. That's nuts during
Yeah.
WrestleMania season. Right, but listen, understandably, right? We know they're not doing much. They're
No.
not they
But
they're not building anything.
what are people watching now? You know, because there's no live sports. I think Australian rules soccer made
Pakistani
waves.
cricket.
Yeah, like Australian rules soccer made waves last week because people are like, oh, there's live sports and it's like emanating from Australia, which is kind of interesting.
Cricket.
Cricket. Fascinating. Very, very strange times we're living in, but also like I hope it's temporary, you know? You can't normalize this weird wrestling nonsense. It's still there. It's great that we're still getting wrestling, but it's like, isn't it like a big clusterfuck, right?
This is a big clusterfuck, and you got to think about the safety of the talent as well. And I think that's something that's being overlooked here. You know, these guys, this may be the moment to give them the time off.
Oh my God, forget it.
You know, WWE doing WrestleMania is a, to me, it's an insurance purpose. They had to do something. I'm almost certain of that, because why would you want to put this show on and make this the worst WrestleMania of all time? You know that's what it's going to be called. You know that's what it's going to be called. So how detrimental was it to the product for them to just extend this for another month or so and run a smaller WrestleMania with a live crowd?
I agree with that. But you know, that mentality of like, we need content, we need to push these people.
But the content they put out, on, though, you know? But Rich, the content that they've been doing, it's one match and a sum up.
Yeah. You know what they should do? What I would really like? Let's say they do the one match and then they cut to like friggin' WrestleMania 3, you know, and just show a bunch of like stuff from the 80s and then stuff from the 90s. Do like a little retrospective. And I think, A, their ratings would go through the friggin' roof. Like, imagine if you're watching TV and then you see like, oh shit, it's Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior.
You know what I would want? You know what I want to see? I'm going to tell you right now. You know how you could have delayed all of this? Your idea, have, let's say, Hogan versus Andre, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you do live commentary. You do a watch along with Vince and Hunter, or Vince and Pat, or Vince and or Hogan. You know, just have Vince sit there and just watch these shows, and make it, you know, like Mystery Science Theater 3000. make it like that. How bizarre would that be? It's just Vince, Bruce Pritchard, and Hulk Hogan.
That would be amazing. I got a question for you, since you're the king of new media. Do you think wrestling in that regard should take more of a podcasting approach to what they're doing? Like, what you just said is literally every podcast, including ours, that does wrestling. You know, like, let's do a watch along for this specific match at this specific time. I agree with you 100%. I think that would be so much fun if you, let's say you took like Austin HBK, WrestleMania 14, and you had Austin, Vince, and Shawn in a room or remotely, just going through the match, you know, kind of like what Austin did with Brett on that last Broken Skull session.
Yeah, very good.
It was good, but also it was a lot of Austin blowing himself up, which I think is hysterical. Or he's like, "I see what I did right there, man. Thanks, Brett. You made me Steve Austin." And it was a lot of like egotist rhetoric, which
and you know, Brett has turned into a bitter. A very bitter man at this point. He hates everybody. Everybody sucks. Everybody's an idiot. He talks about, you know, I never hurt anybody. Bill Goldberg. And he hates Bill Goldberg, hates Sean Still, hates Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Matt Riddle, by the way, just called out Bill Goldberg.
Oh boy.
On Twitter. And he said, "I'm ready for you, Willie G." Dude, can you imagine that? You know what? I would watch that in a heartbeat. Bill Goldberg and Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
And Goldberg just destroys Matt Riddle.
That would be amazing. Like, Spear and Dunn. That's entertainment. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he comes out talking all this crap, and then one spear, maybe two, like, he spears him so hard that he gets up. Second spear, pins him, kisses him, and, like, say goodnight. That's it.
I wanted to pin him and kiss him.
Pins him, kisses him.
And then he makes, and then he pretends he's his son. And he puts a shirt on him and tells him to take the shirt off. Yeah,
put this shirt on. Not take it.
Put it on now. Off. Ah. Ah.
Yeah. That stuff is that would be great. And also, like, the other thing that came out of it was, I think Occam is hurt.
Or yeah, Razor tore his bicep. So he got surgery on it.
So now they're limiting Rollins' stable to him and Murphy, and they're just a tag team. Like, sucks. Dude, Rollins. I feel like Rollins can't catch a proper break in the last year, right?
Seth Rollins had the worst year as a main eventer. Not like due to injuries, but because of positioning.
Poor booking.
Right? Yeah. Poor booking. Yeah. They did that whole him and Becky thing over the summer, and I believe, in my opinion, that was a nail in the coffin for both of them. Both of them have not recovered from that. I honestly thought the Shayna thing would have been a instrumental part in the Becky recovery, because you got to also remember Ronda Rousey really elevated Becky Lynch essentially in that moment. You got to give Ronda the credit, because it brought a lot of eyeballs to Becky and Charlotte, and a lot of eyeballs. Mm-hmm. Schools will remain closed for another 2 weeks until April 15th, according to Governor Cuomo here in New York City.
Are you upset about that?
No, I need these kids back in school, dude. You want to talk about hell in a cell? This is my hell in a cell. The kids being home every day and you can't even go anywhere. Where the hell am I going to take them? We've been walking to the park occasionally.
Mm.
We've been going to the backyard. This is insane.
Here's an idea. I got an idea for you. I got an idea. You ready?
Yeah.
New podcast.
Yeah.
It's you and then just your two kids on the mic.
Oh, it's
and
bad.
And then you just interview them.
No, my kids say a lot of racist stuff. I can't have them on the air.
Daddy's going to interview you. You know, tell me about your day. And I think that would be the most adorable thing in the world.
I could do that.
Until they start yelling, cock-a-poo-poo at you for like 2 hours.
Yeah. A lot of racial slurs those kids throw around.
Where did they pick that stuff up from, man? It's
they said from Coco. They picked it up from Coco.
Just really, but
and
it's
Uncle
like
Rich.
Really old-timey racial slurs.
Old-timey like, stuff. Yeah. Not like
really old-timey.
Like words that haven't been used in like 50 years. Yeah. They're southern racists from the 40s, my kids. Perfect. So I'm looking at, sorry guys, I'm getting a little distracted. I'm trying to figure out what's happening here in the city.
Just watching the news right now.
Yeah, so I mean they're reassessing that schools are gonna be closed till 15. Nothing new there. Nah. They're just coming out and repeating the same thing. So if we're looking at when they could possibly have a big show,
or the big
amazing
show.
Amazing how this I feel like it was like 2 years ago when you and I sat down and I got all the tidbits of WrestleMania and everything that was happening with John Cena and Elias. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was like a century ago at this point.
Yeah, man. Times, they are a-changing, as they say.
Times, they are a-changing. I'm curious what they would have done with Goldberg if they had the high, you know, like Monday morning quarterback to kind of see like this is happening, who they would have kept the titles on, what they would have done.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know, dude. You know, what we've learned is that they don't know how to pivot. They honestly cannot pivot away from their what they want to do. NXT has been a great example of this.
Yes, I agree with that. The Killer Cross thing was pretty cool, though.
I didn't see it.
Really?
Yeah.
They did like a little vignette.
Yeah, like, I didn't see it.
It was cool. Like it was Gargano talking to Hunter and Ciampa. Gargano cuts a good promo, and then they get interrupted by a Killer Cross vignette, which was cool. It was like a very intense black and white vignette with explosions.
I'm looking at it right now.
It was like an explosion or something, and then it cut really quick to like a Fast and the Furious scene, and then it went back to...
What are they going to call him?
Cuddle Cross.
Well, I'm trying to see in the video, there was words... It says thick.
Tick.
Oh,
cross,
it says tick.
Right? TikTok.
What if it's crisscross?
They're gonna. Oh, that'd be amazing.
And it comes out to that. Also, do we know what the static on SmackDown is?
Do you think they're still gonna go through with that?
Dude, I feel like this is gonna be this generation's GTV.
They're just gonna drop it.
It's just gonna continue randomly, and then they're just gonna drop it.
So, I hate what I'm about to say, but there may be some validity that the static ends up being Punk.
No. Oh, so here we go. You want some Punk news?
I want some Punk news, baby.
I'll give you some Punk news. So WWE has zero interest in CM Punk returning. People pitched it for WrestleMania as a Hail Mary. They pitched it for after WrestleMania. CM Punk's agent tried to have a conversation with them on possibly having him return. WWE has said, Vince McMahon has said, we will not work with him.
Wow.
He is on that list of you will not work with him. And it is 100% a Fox deal. His Fox situation, the only reason why they okayed it when Fox pitched it is so they don't come off as standoffish and aggressive just when the deal is happening.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
That's all funny. Like, I don't think the dude needs the money, but it would have been great if that static ended up being. Remember the CM Punk Titantron, where
Yeah.
it's the straight edge fist with the lightning bolt and the static behind it? That would have been cool. Did you see that Moxley popped up on the remote WWE backstage?
I did, and scared the crap out of Renee. I
Hysterical.
saw that. That was
She's gonna get
great.
fired now.
Yeah. She's fired now, yeah. She was wearing a Mickey Mouse shirt, which was funny. She was wearing a
You're
Disney shirt.
done.
I'm trying to see what other news items we have here. I kind of pieced everything together, and I had to reboot my machine, so I lost my Word file. What did you think of Matt Hardy? What do you think of this angle with him and Jericho?
Yeah, I love it. I love Jericho cutting a promo on a friggin' drone. I thought that was amazing. They're trying to make the drone a character. Vanguard one, love it.
He goes, you're a piece of shit. I don't like your political commentary on social media. Dude, he's so good, Jericho.
Yeah, he's
so
the best.
Good.
The promo exchange I thought was awesome, where now Matt Hardy's a 3,000-year-old, his essence is a 3,000-year-old being called Damascus.
Yeah, Damascus and Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. were in the audience.
Oh, I really wish they had the foresight to have just a silhouette of somebody in like a stovepipe hat just sitting
my
there
God.
For like 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
I also liked how he did the whole Judas thing, and he was like, I knew Judas. He betrayed me too.
He betrayed me
you
too,
know, like,
so which was great. Yeah.
That stuff was great. The beatdown was good. Like, they're really doing their best with what they have, and it's a fun toy box that they've built, you know? Like, between, like, Matt Hardy, and they're pulling out all the stops when you think about it. Matt Hardy's banana stuff, the stuff with Brody Lee, that Darby vignette that they released this week, also pretty fantastic, you know, wearing the faces of the Inner Circle.
Yeah, very good.
Really cool stuff. They're doing really, really good stuff. It's good carte blanche wrestling. And I've always been a big Matt Hardy supporter.
Oh,
you know?
You just reminded me. Actually, Chris P in our chat room, I totally forgot before this was on my list. Bobby Lashley's quarantined.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley's at home. So that's a big deal too. Dude, everybody. I mean, this is, I'm going to say it and people are going to say that I don't agree with you, but that's fine. You cannot agree with me. We're going to get past this. This is for most people. For a majority of people, this is like getting the flu. I know multiple people that have it, and some have, I mean, virtually no symptoms. Someone that I know very well got diagnosed with it 4 days ago. They had a very slight fever. They said that it just felt like a really bad cold. It didn't even feel like a flu. I know someone that is in the hospital, and he's doing much better, but the only reason why he's in the hospital is because he went to the hospital. For most people, this is a bad flu and this is a bad cold, or minor, you know, symptoms. Obviously there are people that, this is a very difficult thing for them to fight off. Listen, I got pneumonia 3 times in 1 year. I'm high risk for this at this point, with a recovery. It's not going to be an easy one if I get it because my lungs are still fucked up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are in a position like me, a situation like me, quarantine yourself. It's fine. If you're not, most people are going to get past this very easily.
Absolutely.
Actually, Chris P, I'm recovering from it. My wife is recovering from it. My 14-year-old daughter felt cruddy for a couple days. So here we go. There's somebody that has it.
I hope you guys are feeling good out there.
I hope everybody's feeling slimy. Guys, submit your questions. Here in the chat room on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast or downloading the video for the podcast, we do the show each and every week. Today, obviously, we're doing on a Friday. Our schedule has been all over the place, but we are providing you with content every single week, and that's the goal here, that we want to get shows done by Saturday, at least every week. Next week will be interesting because it's the go-home for WrestleMania. Normally, we do a show almost every day during WrestleMania week, and we don't have the guests this year. Obviously, there's nothing to promote. So I'm going to try to get in touch with some people that we've had on in the past and see if they want to come on and just talk about, you know, what it's like for them. Because a lot of these guys have been working for 20-something years in the business, and this is the first time that they're not working. It's wild. So submit your questions in the chat room. Rich, would you like to read one?
Yeah, Zerp, let's see what we got here. Which lady from the NXT roster do you think will be fed to Rhea Ripley after her program ends with Charlotte? Honestly, like, this is going to be out of left field, but I do see Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai having a nice little back and forth.
Do you think the Rhea Ripley, the push for Rhea Ripley kind of got... What do you think the results would have been if this wasn't going on? You think Charlotte would have beat Rhea for the title?
No, I think Charlotte would have put her over, like, big time. Because Rhea Ripley is, like... She's the future of that women's division when you think about it. You know, like, I don't think she's going to get as many title wins as Charlotte, but she's going to be up there as, like, a major contender, you know? And just, like... And I feel like it wouldn't have been a one and done with Charlotte. I think they could have told a nice story over several matches where Rhea Ripley gets moved to the main roster and she just feuds with Charlotte, gives Charlotte because Charlotte's a little bit stale. It sucks to say this, but like a lot of the women's revolution talent, like,
they've gotten
very stale in the last year and a half, right? Like it's almost like status quo again, you know, like it hasn't been exciting. It's been fun. Some stuff has been fun. I think Asuka has been the highlight in the last few weeks, but it's gotten stale. And I think with Rhea Ripley, the NXT stuff is great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, you could have stretched that out. And I do think her feud in NXT should be Io Shirai. I think that's going to be dope as hell.
I like that feud, actually. I like that feud a lot. What else do we have here?
Which WWE wrestler? That question, I'm sorry, was from Bachelor 3000. Chris P. asked, which WWE wrestler would you guys like to see Vince bring back instead of the usual Goldberg, Austin, etc.?
I'm going to tell you something. If there's one match, one guy I want to see have one more match, to me, it's Austin, right? That's the one.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to see, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy. I just want, do you want him in underwear or you want him in jean shorts?
Underwear, ladder match.
Underwear ladder. How many knee braces?
7 knee braces.
You know how
he's got
you know
knee
how
braces Ahmed, on his elbows.
Yeah, like you know how Ahmed Johnson used to wear the knee pads on his elbow pads on his thighs.
Yeah, yeah.
I want Austin to just wear knee braces everywhere. I just want it to be a giant knee brace. I would love to see Austin do something. But they're really those guys are gone. There's like those the guys that Vince brings back. He's only bringing them back because they're available. Like. Who else is available to bring back?
And healthy.
And healthy. I mean, Edge is that guy, right? He did it with Edge. Edge has returned.
The door seems to be closed on Punk for now.
For now, yeah.
Right?
Which I say never, obviously. Never say never with that. But I don't know what's going on with my... there we go. I had to pivot here. Sorry. Never say never on Punk, but it's not happening. But you really don't have... the caliber of stars that you did in that era from 20-something years ago, more than 20 years ago. Bill Goldberg's popularity was 21 years ago, 22 years ago, and he's a guy that they have to bring back. Same with Steve Austin. 2001 was the peak of his popularity. 2000, peak of his popularity. You're bringing guys back from 20 years ago. Who else exists from that era that's alive? That's healthy.
Well, they burned out Angle, right?
Kurt Angle, they used in the worst possible capacity. Hunter could do something still. Sting is not returning.
Right.
He returned.
Rob, fantasy booking wise, Austin is always the number one, right? If Christian somehow gets better, maybe like a nice little Christian return.
Okay, but I mean, I'm saying that upper echelons of the Rocks, Austins, Bill Goldbergs, Hogans, that kind of level. They don't exist.
Maybe Kane, if he got back in shape.
Listen, here's a reality, and we'll go into a question about this. The reality is the next generation of guys is Angle, right? It would have been Angle. It would have been Jericho, which is still doing it. It would have been Benoit. It would have been Eddie.
Yeah, yeah.
Lesnar's still there. So you really don't have... They did a very bad job in the 2000s with creating talent that is at that capacity. And the other thing is, a lot of these guys passed away, which is a terrible thing. You know, they attempted it with Warrior, and unfortunately, he had a heart attack and died the night after the show, which is insane if you think about it. You know, these guys are just not around at that star power to bring back. They did a bad job for over a decade of creating mega powerful stars in the industry, and now they're in the situation that they're in, where everybody is an upper mid-carder.
But you're going to get it's going to hold off for a while, for the next like few years, as far as like bringing back big names, because the future generation of big names are going to be John Cena, right? Like, easily, like, if John Cena goes away for like 5 or 6 years, right?
And then he's that guy. Yeah.
He's going to be that guy. He's going to have a secondary run. If you're talking about the future, a guy like Roman Reigns is definitely like, let's say he goes away for like 5 years, he'll come back with like a huge run, you know, like epic face. I, you know, honestly, like, not even a megastar, but like whom I could see have a solid, if they gave him a solid push, Rob Van Dam, you know, like he's
RVD's
one of
doing
guys,
great stuff in TNA. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's one of those guys that they could really kind of attach to. I would have said Jeff Hardy, but Jeff Hardy's in the company right now. Right. I feel like he's going to be set up for like a decent push just because like he's seemingly immortal, right?
Jeff Hardy is seemingly immortal at this point, and this guy keeps avoiding all his problems.
JBL
was never on that level. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. JBL was never a main event. I mean, he was in the main event, but Eddie made him more than anything else.
Aaron,
go ahead.
Aaron Banks asked, do you see X-Pac coming back for another small run? I would love to see X-Pac on NXT, to be honest. Like, that would be great.
Dude, that guy could still go.
Yeah.
He looks great. He's in phenomenal shape. That guy could still go. And you want to talk about a mind in the business. Like, he was that first small guy to break through.
Yeah.
To be accepted.
He wasn't even that small.
No, he was like 6-something, 200 pounds.
Right.
Let me see X-Pac. You know, how big is X-Pac?
I think he's 6 feet tall. Like, just
6'1". He's 6 foot one, X-Pac.
Again, Land of Giants. Like, who was X-Pac rolling with at that time? Scott Hall,
Kevin Nash.
Oh, yeah. These guys are huge. The biggest people on earth at that point, right? Just look that up.
Do you know what I hate about X-Pac? His theme. The Run DMC theme. X-Pac! Okay. The vomit music. Yeah. All right. What else?
Mr. Gonzo asks, with them doing TakeOver the next few weeks on NXT, does it take away from the big match feel we get from a TakeOver, or will they be able to make it feel big? He forgot to close his quote marks on that one, so I'm not going to acknowledge that question.
Okay, yeah. That's not exactly. With them doing TakeOver the next few weeks on NXT, does it take away from the big match feel? Yes, it takes this whole thing takes away from the big match feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I'm looking forward to the AJ Undertaker thing, because I feel like if they produce these matches in a different way, it'll be a lot more fun. Again, I'm gonna repeat it ad nauseum. What they did on AEW for the last couple of weeks is the matches and the match quality of what's going on is so good that it makes you forget that there's no audience, right? That Sammy Kenny match made me forget there was no audience. Cody Jimmy Havoc made me forget there was no audience, right? Like, I think, can WWE achieve that?
Yes, but they would have to modify what they're doing. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to modify their entire concept of what they do and how they do it. And that's the biggest problem here, is that they don't know how to do that.
I think that as far as the bigness goes, it's out the window, right?
Yes, very much so. Here's a question. What did you think of the Chris Benoit Vice documentary? I watched both parts. Did you watch both part?
I did. Heavy stuff.
Very heavy stuff. I got to tell you, it was very kudos to them, because some of them I didn't really care for last season. Like the Miss Elizabeth one I didn't really care for. The Bruiser Brody one could have been better. Everybody praised that one. The Von Erich one was very good. You know, when you're, I forgot what else they had last season. What was it? It was Brody. It was the Von Erichs.
I think they did the Montreal Screwjob.
Montreal Screwjob, which The way that I gauge the success of this thing is if my wife sits there and watches it, is interested, right? Because the whole point of these documentaries is that you don't want it to be a pro wrestling documentary. You want it to be more like a human peace story. The Chris Benoit story, my wife, I put it on, not intending on her to watch. She was glued to the whole thing. She goes, oh my God, that was really good. And that's so, like, the whole, she lived through it, you know? Like, I actually fell out of wrestling around that time when the whole Chris, like, that was the nail in the coffin for me for a while.
Okay.
For lack of a better term, obviously. But I kind of fell out of it because, you know, it was like, I couldn't watch it again, you know, like normal the next week.
Okay.
So I kind of fell out a little bit, and I was coming back, and I came back again with the Summer of Punk stuff. But, you know, that was really – it was unexpected because he was such a praised and respected person. I thought they did a very good job showing the emotion of the people that were being interviewed, like Chris Jericho, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Chris was great because at the end he's like I don't have his quote, but he was like, listen – what he did was a total piece of shit thing, but like how it's, that's not who I knew.
Right.
And Chris
was
really realistic. He's like, but you know, I heard stories later on that he was really like, he was off. And the same thing with Chavo, you know, Chavo's now looking back and saying like, well, what that reaction and this reaction, I thought it was really well done with a, he was leaning towards, it didn't villainize him like you would expect, but it also showed, like, it was a very conflicted documentary, and I think that's what it was supposed to be, because I think that's the thought of most people, because his body of work is the best of the best, and his reputation was, you know, he was admired in the industry, and then in 48 hours, you kind of saw what he really thinks. And I think for a lot of people, that's a very, and by the way, this isn't a piece to defend him. I'm just thinking out loud as far as how people think. I think that's the conflict here, is that you've known this guy for 20 something years. You've respected him. And all of a sudden, like you, he was the last guy you would imagine. If I told you, and here's the thing, okay, and I'm going to present this, and this is a fucked up concept, but if I told you in 2007, one of these guys is going to murder his family. It's Chris Benoit or Kurt Angle. Who do you pick?
I'm not going to answer that.
I would go, I honestly, though, but you know what I mean? Like, they were both suffering with their own issues at the time.
Yeah.
I don't think, and that just shows you, like, I think it, I'm not saying Kurt Angle would have done this, but I'm saying these are two very admired guys in their industry. I'm willing to bet most people would go with Kurt Angle. Because of the reputation that this guy had built over the years. And then you find out, you know, he did some not so great stuff. He was out of his mind. He was very intense. But and then they showed the piece on the CTE stuff at the end, which I believe most of these guys are suffering from stuff like this.
Oh, like when I was watching it with my wife also. And again, like she got hooked into it. Like we watched it and like she's down to watch all those documentaries just because like they're fascinating. Also, my wife is obsessed with true crime. I don't know if you're Greek.
Yes, I listen. I love that stuff too. I love that stuff too.
So and also like the next, I made her watch the New Jack trailer for the next documentary. And she's like hooked into it, you know, because New Jack is a insane person, right? I think that's going to be great. These are very well made. I don't think there's a hidden agenda with them. I think they're just trying to tell stories. But it was good. It was a good piece. Like it was nice seeing David Benoit and Nancy's sister. Also,
I feel so bad for both of them. David, you could tell David is, listen, he's a young man. He's in his early 20s. This guy is conflicted.
Yeah.
You could see the pain and the effect of having his hero commit one of the most heinous things you could ever imagine. You know, murdering his wife in not like a, he didn't shoot her. He virtually suffocated her and snapped her back in half.
Right.
And then killed his son. Like, just, and then being, and then think about you, you're the other son that's so deeply in love with your father and who he is and as a character and as a man and as a dad. And then it's like, by the way, all the things that you thought about your father, you know what? He's actually a really shitty guy and he murdered people.
Right.
Murdered your brother, your 7-year-old brother. You have to think this poor guy, it has to carry that with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You're not. Very you're sad. Never okay with that. And Nancy's sister, you know, because you could tell that Nancy, a great version of Nancy's sister's story is the one that Jericho did with her a couple of years ago. Had her on the podcast. And you could tell, like, she loved Chris.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And you, it's such a, it's, to me, the what I liked about this is that nobody came out and said, this guy's a monster. They had to tell, like, they couldn't do it outright because they had a relationship with this person for years and they saw such positive stuff out of him. You know, my conclusion is, listen, I think the Eddie thing was really bad. The Eddie passing away destroyed this guy.
Yeah.
And people, you know, really question, like, why, how did he, why was he so deeply affected by this? And also, he was affected by other people, too. A lot of his other friends died, too. I think Johnny Grunge passed away, too, right?
Well,
around
the
same time. Somebody, there was somebody else, MG Geek would know, or somebody in the chat room would know. There were two other deaths that really affected him. I think Boss Man was one. He was really affected by Bossman's passing away. And there was like two other ones that died. And there was one that was a Canadian wrestler that had passed away that he was really affected by. So you got to put it into perspective. You know, the steroids come. I don't believe steroids were the reason for what he did. I don't think they helped. But I don't think that, that, you know, I know many people that have taken anabolic steroids through bodybuilding and working out. I don't know anybody that has had the thought process of a long-term thing like that, you know, to kind of do. Roid rage doesn't work like that. I'm not defending steroid use, but I'm also not saying that, you know, it's the reason.
Right.
You know, prescription drugs, alcohol, steroids, and having a tremendous brain damage all play a factor in this. And you got to also remember, this fucking guy's been part of a traveling circus his entire life. His adult life. So that plays a big part in it, too. The wrestling ideology and the wrestling thought process plays a tremendous part in all of this. Terrible, terrible thing. I always think that, like, I'm as a fan of wrestling, I have a very difficult time talking about the Chris Benoit thing. It's such a heinous thing as a father and as, you know, someone that I really liked his body of work. Now you're looking at him like, this guy's a real piece of shit. I always think, what are they going to do with OJ? And Rich is frozen here. Rich froze. I'm looking at him like, he's not moving. Rich froze.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Hey, what happened?
I got a notification saying that you disconnected.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah,
I was like, what happened there? I don't know if you heard, but I pretty much summed up the whole thing. And then I said, I'm curious when O.J. Simpson passes away, what kind of CTE they'll discover in him.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a little alien like from Men in Black.
All right. give us some more.
We got one last question, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's a documentary you guys want to see that hasn't been made yet?
Oh, that's a great one. Who gave that one? That's a great question. Vinny?
Vinny Zamp.
Yeah, a documentary that we haven't seen. You know what? I would love a story on Vince. That we have not gotten Vince McMahon's story. He doesn't have an autobiography, right?
He's got that McMahon DVD that came out like a million years ago.
But it's not really...
Do you really want to see like a Vince, like a real Vince documentary?
I do, because he's fascinating, this guy.
Yeah, but who's going to, like, how truthful is that going to be from people who were around at that at the early days of WWF? Right?
I think when he passes away, you'll kind of get that truthfulness. But I think by that point, a lot of these guys will be gone, too. You know, you got to think about the early days of WWE, who would be there. Bruno was another one. He had a great documentary that they did nothing with. I actually saw it a couple years ago, and it's a very interesting story about how his family virtually, you know, essentially escaped Italy during the war, and he was a very sick boy. WWE was going to do something with that, and they didn't. The Vince McMahon movie is interesting to me, but there is a couple of these, you know, like, who comes to your mind? Who would you like to see a piece on?
I'd like to see a Great Muta documentary. I'd like to see a Liger documentary. I would like to see a Rick Rude documentary between his transition from DX to like showing up on WCW and
Yeah.
becoming like their they had that like oddball championship that they put on him that lasted for like maybe two wrestlers and then they decommissioned it, right? I'd like to see that, and then maybe like an early days Flair slash Harley Race documentary. You know, like just
Okay.
that, like that NWA era where
Yeah.
you had like Harley, Flair, Terry Funk, Dory Funk, and Dusty. You know, like I want to see like what went into like all that stuff, you know, like from Florida to like traveling through the South and you know.
There's one, you know what? That's a good documentary. Memphis Heat. That's a really good documentary.
Oh yeah.
I gotta watch it again. It's about, you know, the whole Southern wrestling style and the Memphis style. Something I would love to see is just a documentary on like 88 to like 98 of the wrestling business. Just how nuts it was. There are glimpses of this. There's a video from, I believe, Great American Bash 88, and I think I've showed you this, the crazy one with Hawk and Animal. So these guys, it's still Crockett, and it's just backstage, like they're just a bunch of 20-something, like 23-year-olds just effing around. That's fascinating to me, just seeing just the interaction between these guys. There was one that. Who was the rock guy in the early 90s? 95. Mountain Rock?
Man Mountain Rock?
Man Mountain Rock. Yeah, who was that?
I don't remember. Are you thinking of the One Man Gang? I'd like to see a documentary on him.
Man Mountain Rock. Max Payne, okay?
Max Payne.
Max Payne, I believe this would have been like 96. He did a. He would take his camera around and record things that were going on the tours. And I believe one was a European tour. And there's only a trailer for this, and I've never seen the documentary, but there's a trailer for this documentary. I don't think the documentary ever came to existence, but it's like all these guys, and they're all like effed up in the back. Like if you see this preview, you could see like DX is there and the Godwins and Owen, and then I believe it was Spicoli like really messed up and he can't get into his hotel. The documentary never came. It's unreleased and I don't know if it'll ever be released in this.
Interesting.
But I believe in the thing, Kevin Nash has like a bottle of pills and he just like does like pill roulette and just grabs a
Just
whole bunch.
guzzling them down.
Yeah, I would love to see anybody if anybody has information on how to get that tape, I'd love to get my hands on it.
Yeah,
Somebody
anything
has seen
good.
it. Yeah. Somebody's seen it. All right, I gotta go. I got a meeting I gotta
Yeah,
get
let's
on the
do it.
phone
Let's do
for.
it, baby.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. Also, if you enjoy the show, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. You can go there, fund us. ProWrestlingTees.com/mattmenpodcast. You get the Mattmen shirt. I'm wearing one right now. Look at that.
Ah, look at that.
When things kind of settle down, we'll add a couple more shirts to that, and you could always tip us. We're gonna make an OnlyFans site, me and Rich.
Oh yeah, you have no
Boy
idea.
on boy, we're very close to it.
It's just us leapfrogging each other in the
Yeah,
park.
that's it. We're just leafrogging.
But
That's it.
we're
Yeah,
naked.
yeah. So, guys, thank you for your support. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Rich at BTC Rich. Of course, Mad Men Podcast. Everywhere, subscribe, 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 and we'll see you all next time. Take care.
Mwah. Later.